There were two roads that led up to the north pasture. One went straight north through the middle pasture, and the other looped around to the west. The one that looped around to the west and followed the canyon pasture fence was the longer of the two, which naturally meant that the other was the shorter of the two, right? It was shorter, but you had to open two gates to get to the north pasture. Slim took the long route so's he could get by without having to stop, get out, open the gate, get back in, drive through, get out again, shut the gate, get back in, and drive on. You see, little Alfred wasn't quite big and stout enough to open and shut pasture gates. And while Slim was old enough and stout enough, he had a small lazy streak and a weakness for using cattle guards instead of gates. So we took the long route up to the north pasture. As you will soon see, this will become a crucial piece of information in the unfolding drama of the hooking bull. If little Alfred had been faced with two pasture gates to open, well, you'll find out soon enough. As soon as we turned off the main road, little Alfred started pestering Slim to let him drive the pickup. Slim growled and grumbled about the hazards of doing such things, but since he'd been the one who'd brought the subject up in the first place, he didn't have much of a chance of winning that argument. So the boy crawled over in his lap and took the steering wheel in both hands. I'll admit, this made me nervous. It reminded me of the time I'd gone on a spaceship ride with the little stinkpot. I won't say that his driving had caused that crash, but I won't say that it didn't either. But this time he did all right, kept the pickup mostly in the tracks without too much wandering around in the pasture. After he'd steered a while, with Slim running the gas and the brake, he decided he needed to handle that department too. So Slim gave him a tryout, running the gas and the brakes. First time he hit the brake pedal, me and Drover got ourselves introduced to the dashboard. After that, he didn't punch it so hard, but we dogs took no chances. We were braced and welded against the back of that seat. Slim let him drive all the way up to the cattle guard that led into the north pasture, and then he took the controls back, saying, "Button, that cattle guard's about as wide as it needs to be, and I'll take her from here." When we crossed the cattle guard, Slim scanned the horizon and started talking to himself. "Now let's get organized here. This time of day in the summer, them cattle are most likely to be at the windmill. We'll check there first for that bull." He threw the gear shift up into Grandma Low, and we started down a washed out trail that led into a ravine. When we reached the bottom, we saw the windmill up ahead. Sure enough, 50 or 60 cows and calves were lazing around the water tank. "There he is, and look at the size of that feller. That, boys, is a lot of bull." I followed the direction of his gaze and, yes, that was a big bull, all right, with a nasty hump in his back and a wide head like a catfish and a mean-looking set of horns. Drover was staring at the clouds and hadn't seen the bull yet. "You know, Drover, if Slim needs any help on this assignment, it might be a good time to let you get some experience."
"Really?"
"There's no substitute for experience, son, and I know that I have a tendency to hog all the excitement. Yes, by George, we'll just let you solo on this one."
"Gosh, thanks, Hank. Are you sure I can handle it?"
Well, that's the whole idea behind hands-on training, Drover. Finding the answers to those little questions. And yes, I'm confident that you will learn a great deal from this experience."
"Oh boy, I can hardly wait. Just bark at him?"
"Oh yeah, bark at him and maybe bite him on the nose if he tries to attack." His eyes went blank.
"Attack? What kind of cow is this?"
"Well, it's not exactly a cow, Drover. More of a bull than a cow."
"A bull?"
"That's correct. Just an ordinary garden variety of bull who happens to be in the wrong pasture and has forgotten how to get back home. Nothing special, in other words." All at once, the runt stopped looking at the clouds and squinted his eyes at the cattle in front of us. I heard him gulp.
That wouldn't be him right over there, would it? With the hump in his back and the big horns?
Don't worry about the hump, son. Camels have two humps, and they're the friendliest animals you ever saw. The hump means nothing, almost nothing at all.
Yeah, but look at those horns.
Once again, the horns mean almost nothing. The idea is to stay out of the way of the horns. I noticed that his eyes had crossed. Drover, something's wrong with your eyes.
No, it's my leg. It's killing me.
What I'm looking at is not your leg, unless you've moved it up around your nose.
No, it hurts to move it. Just the least little movement brings on this terrible pain. Maybe I'd better sit this one out, Hank.
Forget that, son. You're fixing to make a solo run.
Oh, my leg!
By this time, Slim had unloaded his horse and led him up to the pickup. He pulled all his cinches down tight. Button, I'm gonna try to drive that bull back where he belongs. If he'll drive, I'll take him up that hill and through that gate yonder, and I'll be back in 10 minutes. While I'm gone, I want you to stay in the pickup, you hear? The boy nodded. 'Cause if you get out and go to fooling around with these baby calves, some of these mamas are liable to think you're a prowling coyote instead of Sally Mae's darling child, and one of them might try to get into your pocket. The boy nodded. Now, if the bull don't want to cooperate, I may have to take more drastic measures, such as putting my nylon around his horns and drag him into the trailer. It could get a little western, so keep out of the way.
Okay, Swim, but I don't want you to woke the bull.
Neither do I, Button, but that's up to him. I'll take Hank with me. Huh? I eased down on the floorboard and tried to make myself invisible. Maybe if I flattened myself on the floor, he might think, Hank, come on. I may need you to put some bite on that bull's nose. At that moment, Drover spoke.
I think Slim wants you for something.
No, I think he was calling you.
No, he said Hank. I'm almost sure he did, and my name's Drover, so I guess he decided to put in the first string, and I'll just have to sit this one out.
I'll bet that breaks your heart.
Yeah, I sure was looking forward to going a round or two with that old bull.
Hank, get out of that pickup. Let's go. I pushed myself up and noticed that my legs were trembling. All right, you little weasel. I'll do your dirty work for you, but this will go into my report, every word of it.
Oh, rats. But I'll bark from here, Hank. Maybe that'll help.
Thanks a lot, Drover.
Oh, it's the least I could do.
Yes, I'm aware of that, you little... It seems that Slim got impatient and reached in and grabbed me by the tail and hauled me outside. And that really wasn't necessary. I'd only wanted to take care of a little business with Drover and... Slim stepped into the saddle and pulled his hat down. Then he glanced down at me.
You ready for this, Pooch? Let's go exercise that old bull.
He rode forward through the herd. The cattle stared at him with big, stupid eyes and parted to let him through. I fell in behind the horse. My enthusiasm for this project was, well, running at a fairly low level, mainly because my involvement was depriving Drover of valuable, much-needed experience. Slim maneuvered his horse around until only one animal stood in his path. The bull's ears were cocked, and he was watching the horse's every move.
Yeah, go on, bull. Get on out of here.
The bull sensed that he had been cut off from the herd. He moved to the right, and Slim cut him off. He moved to the left, and Slim turned him back again. The bull shook his head and stood his ground. Slim took down his catch rope, pulled the loop down to where it was just a knot, and let out about 7 feet of slack. Then he flipped the rope so that the knot popped Mr. Bull on the nose. That got his attention. He whirled around and started trotting away from the herd. Well, that had been easy enough, and I figured this might be a good time for me to install my anti-bull procedures. Barking at the top of my lungs, I rushed past the horse and sank my teeth into the left rear hock of this large but cowardly... One detail a guy tends to forget about these bulls is that while they're very large and appear to be slow and dim-witted, they're actually none of those things except large. I mean, it's hard to believe that a bull weighing in at 1,300 or 1,400 pounds can turn on a dime and give you the change. But they can. And he did. And I sure wasn't expecting him to do that. And I don't think I'll tell you what happened next.